I've asked Patricia Grabo to be here with me today, and Patricia is a friend of many years and an inspiration through those years. One who has an experience that lets us look beyond the limitations that we find ourselves in this third dimensional reality that your soul decided, well, I'm gonna do that human thing. And in that eternal journey we're on, stopped by planet Earth for a moment and found, oh, it's a little dense here. It's kind of hard staying away, aware of what all this really is. And so when that love of spirit, Patricia is one of those who got to look beyond that limitation. And I'm very glad that it was her instead of me. Thank you, Patricia. But in that experience, she got to, for us, touch beyond this thing that we think of when we think of death. And she got to enter into the experience of greater consciousness itself. And so, because it has meant so much to me that she has shared her story with me, I wanted to ask her to be here and share it with you. Would you help me welcome Patricia Grabo?
Wow, this is wonderful to be back. Thank you so much for being here. This is my Unity family. I don't know if you know that I am a member of this church, and I live 2,000 miles round trip away from here. And this is my 17th trip here. So that's about 34,000 miles. Do the math. It's around the Earth one time plus 10,000 miles. So you see, my guidance has brought me here and brought me here and brought me here. And some people actually think I live here. So thank you so much for being here, because I come back here. This is home. This is a very important place for me. And one of the reasons I found that I was guided back here was that because in the last 6 years that I've been coming here, collectively, humanity has gone through a shift in consciousness within the heart. And so we shared together this shift with each other. It's almost the analogy in the books. Talk about the chicken that's inside the egg, and the chicken develops as a leg tooth and starts pecking at the egg. Now, at that point, the chicken thinks that's all there is. But then once the egg is broken, there's this whole world out there that the chicken wasn't quite aware of. And that is the shift in consciousness from what the writing has always called a world of fear to a world of love. So we have, within the heart, made this huge transition globally. And I'm so grateful for you to be companions. I really had to be here in this very sacred place. And there really were only three places that I could find that. That was in the books, The Immortal Now, here with you, and HeartMath. So it was this awareness of what David's t-shirt actually says. It says, love in the present time, period. Nothing else. And I'm also happy to be here on Father's Day. Thank you, fathers. Without you, we would not be here. And I want to especially honor one father, and that is David's father, Bruce MacArthur. I don't know if many of you knew Bruce, but I will tell you that I would not be here, and my youngest child would not be here, had it not been for Bruce and Charlotte MacArthur. I would be gone. They saved my life. So on this very important Father's Day, I truly want to honor that amazing man. And of course, Reverend David as well. As you may know, I am a near-death experience survivor. I was killed in an automobile accident in London, England, June 16th, 1980. I was in a head-on collision with a Mini, and we were hit by a Mercedes-Benz, and you can imagine who was driving the Mini. And I had my then 14-year-old and 13-year-old sons with me. My son Chris had a broken femur and a broken arm. My son Tim was not harmed except emotionally, and the Mini looked like this. I experienced what I call love to the millionth power, but you have to understand, and some of you that have been through near-death experiences understand that you cannot put words to it, but you can try. Imagine being in love on a beautiful day like today with the sun shining and to the millionth power. You begin to sense how much love that was. Or if you can imagine a child in a state of loving laughter rolling in a satin blanket, you can begin to imagine how much love that was. Beyond any imagination you have, it was everything I had ever longed for in my entire life, and there it was. And I was it, and it was me, and it was everything I ever, ever wanted in my life. And then suddenly, I came back, like that. And I found myself flat out on a hospital bed in Kingston, in sort of brown sienna walls, and all I could feel was this separate self. And I couldn't believe there was a separate self. There was a Patricia. There was this gravity just pushing down on my body. I could actually feel the blood go through every capillary in this system. And I just was amazed and so discouraged. All I wanted to do was, please, I just want to go back to where I was. And I couldn't go back. And they wheeled my children in. My son Chris had a broken arm and leg, and he tried to get off to see Mom. I mean, and my ex-husband flew in from Paris. He was an ABC News correspondent, but he couldn't stay because of the competitiveness of his business. And there I was. They had told my children I was dead during the accident, and here I was. Again. My visa would not allow me to stay in England. I had to leave my son Chris in the hospital with a broken leg so that he could heal enough to be transported. I had to fly back to Seattle, Washington, and Tim went to his father's in Virginia. So there I was in Seattle, Washington, and the only thing that I could possibly think of was suicide. I was suicidal and barely made it through the night and ended up back with my sister and brother-in-law. And my sister, they were helpless and trying to help me in any possible way. And Kip, my brother-in-law, said, well, why don't you try a white light meditation and automatic writing. So I said, fine, whatever, it's fine with me. I was so looking for anything to hang on to. And so I did. And it started teaching and comforting and showing me why I was going through what I was going through. And it was kind to me through this whole process. Then it led me from there, very specifically, enormously accurately, to Jackson, Wyoming, to find a home, then to the North Slope of Alaska to find a job, to earn enough money to come back to Jackson to write a book. And I said, fine, whatever it tells me to do, I will do, and I did. Actually, Bruce MacArthur said, what was amazing is that you followed all that guidance. I said, I didn't have a choice. I had nothing else to hang on to. So I came back to Jackson, Wyoming, after this amazing guidance and the white light meditation that it taught. By the way, I've been doing that for 34 years, every day since then. So then I was led to this amazing family.
So I want to look at this experience and also be aware that she is talking about guidance that is here, present for all of us, within us, as we go through the challenges of our life. And death is pretty close to one of the major ones. So if you would, just think of what Patricia has shared with us. Getting beyond this body so that it was not there, it was not alive. What she experienced was the consciousness that she is as a being, as a spiritual being, on this infinite journey, and the reality that is greater than this one. And it was pure love. No right, wrong, good, bad, should have, shouldn't. You know, you joined the wrong religious club or you were smart enough not to get into one. Or none of that matters. The love is the nature of that reality. It's the nature of that experience. And it also gives us a little reflection on why it's okay, since you as a soul made a commitment to do this journey, that we aren't aware of that greater reality all the time. Because it is so much more. How difficult to return to limited perception and experience for herself, her emotional self, her psychological self, and her physical self as well. So realizing, and I think one of the things, Patricia, that I'm so grateful for is that by your sharing your experience, it lets us take that look into what's greater, what's there. And then now Patricia's guidance began coming to her in a particular form. We all have the different ways that we open and begin to receive their guidance, but she talks about being guided to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Well, who would go to Jackson? I mean, unless you're a ski enthusiast, you know. Okay, but there was more than that. It wasn't just Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It was the Cowboy Bar in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And she had no idea that everyone in the Cowboy Bar was a part of an Edgar Casey study group run by my parents. So she walks into the bar, and I mean, we could make jokes from that forever. But what happens is this, we are guided, we are cared for. That doesn't mean that she didn't have very painful, very difficult things to go through as she was about the journey that was hers to take. But that there was support, there is for each of us. Support, guidance, care, all the way along. So that guidance began to help Patricia understand so that she could share, what is this? What is this greater reality? And one of the things when we first connected and I began to see what she was writing, and I recognized it was one power. Now, there's a lot of people writing stuff. There is very little that really is an expression, a pure expression of that one power. No good, bad, oh, ain't it awful, let's go fix it. No, this part of you is okay, this part of you is not, you know. Just that awareness of this divine love and intelligence unfolding the lives in the world that we live in. Beautiful and challenging journey. So would you share with us a little of what was there, Patricia?
Yes, Dave. Thank you, Dave. I've been a friend for 34 years. So, isn't that amazing? So, here I was, and I was guided to a KC meeting. And it said, and I'm going, what's a KC meeting? I have no idea. My son healed enough to go back to his dad, so he was, my children were safe. My youngest child decided to come out with mom. So I have an eighth grader, and I am pregnant. And so I go to a KC meeting with 17 notebooks full of automatic writing. And I say, I've been guided here. And this wonderful woman, Barbara McCormick, said, I've been waiting for you. But there's other people I want you to meet. I'd like you to meet Bruce and Charlotte MacArthur and their son, David. So we made arrangements. And by that time, the writing had gone from my thinking it was going to be a book on the West to actually beginning to dictate the first book. And the writing said that I would do 4 books in my lifetime. And the first book would be like a teacher. It's called Passage from Fear, and it was chronicling this huge passage that we are making within the heart from a fear-based paradigm to a love-based paradigm. So it said Armageddon or Renaissance. The second book is called Passage from Karma. It's at the end of sin and repentance. It is going to that place where there is just love within our experience. And the third book, it said, would be on alternative realities. It turned out to be on love in the present time and the nature of the present time. And the fourth book, it said, would be on love, salvation, and soulmates. And it said these books were to be done for the events that would happen 30 years from then. And I'm just fine. Whatever it tells me to do, that's what I do. 30 years from now, fine. I don't know what's going on in 30 years. But that didn't occur to me until later. That was 2012. And the 100 years, for the next 100 years, so that we could make this huge shift within the heart to adjust to the solutions we need for the events of the next 100 years. So I take these 16 pages of the beginning of the first book, and I go to obediently to Barbara and Bruce and Charlotte MacArthur and David, and I hand them 16 pages. And they're looking at a woman who is crying 5 hours a day, who is pregnant, who is just obediently following, who's got 17 books of automatic writing. And I'm not sure how you would respond to a person like that. You might say, sorry, wasn't she a little desperate? But they didn't do that. They were totally compassionate towards me. And if they had not been, I wouldn't be here. I couldn't have made it. I was just too fragile. So then they became a nurturing support for me as I went through this process of basically channeling these books that occurred. And in fact, they occurred the way they said they were going to occur. Interestingly, though, the book on love, salvation, and soulmates, I thought would be an interesting treatise, subtle, sort of an intellectual treatise, and it said no. And by the way, Love, Salvation, and Soulmates is not a memoir. But it's really blunt. So those of you that have read it, it's their warts and all, because you have to tell the truth. If you're going to tell the story, you have to tell the truth. And the writing said, and the writing is interspersed throughout the book, but the writing said that you can't have a treatise on love, salvation, and soulmates except as a story, because everything comes from within. It said that the next place we are going to really begin to understand is that everything is from within. And so that story that comes from within is an actual understanding of what it really is in the heart to have love, salvation, and soulmates. So I completed all four books in time. And I am like so many near-death experience survivors. I don't know, you've probably read some books, like Eben Alexander wrote a wonderful book, and he said he used to think that the brain produced consciousness as a neurosurgeon. But what he found out was the brain was simply a filter for consciousness once he went through a near-death experience. I spent some time with listening to Anita Morjani. And again, she was a woman, if you've read her books, who had died of cancer and came back. Again, those of us who've been through these near-death experiences, we went through this horrible period of grief. We came through adjustment, and we are serious about communicating with others the most important thing, which is that there is no death. And it is so important that we remove ourselves from a paradigm in which we think there's just life, death, heaven, that's it. And we begin to really explore what the heart actually is. We begin to explore what the heart is within the present, within the presence of the presence, because that's who we are. When I died, this wasn't here. It was gone. And still, I was within the presence of love to the millionth power. That's who we are. And so many of us, now we have over 8 million people who've gone through near-death experiences. And some of them I've talked to have said, you know, trying to put words to this, you almost shouldn't put words to it because there's hardly anything that can describe it. But that's who we are. There is only love in the present time, period. That's it. So a couple of things I'd like to take with this is that, first of all, if we can really make that transition into understanding really who we are and move out of a fear-based paradigm, just let the heart do it for us, because the heart doesn't feel that duality. The heart doesn't feel that judgment. The heart feels nothing but love itself. If we can do that, can you imagine what it will do for the entire planet? It lets the fear of death overwhelms people so much that they do a lot of things that are harmful just because they're afraid of dying. And so we can move into that consciousness, and this is why this is such a sacred place, because you're actually having the courage to address this issue. This issue is something we try to put limits on. It has no limits. And the other thing that I think is really important that we move toward is that really getting it, that this is all we are, and that the solutions to the problems we face are in nothing but love. Nothing but love in the present time. You want a solution to global warming? It's in love. In the present time. The writing says the babies being born are coming with so many of those solutions. In love. They are appearing to solve these problems that we think are not solvable. But they're not solvable with anything but love. They're not solvable with fear. They're not solvable with pain. They're not solvable with sorrow. They're solvable with love, that state of consciousness in which we are connected to all the life on the earth. The earth is a living place, and we are connected with love. So it's really important. Those of us who are almost like the Blues Brothers on a mission with God. I mean, look at us. We're all over the planet, and we're saying the same thing. We're saying, let's just continue what you are doing. I just love, you know, I'll be back 18 times soon. Continue with what you're doing. It is so, so very important, and this is such an important place. So thank you.
Thank you. So we've asked Patricia this afternoon to take and do a workshop for us that lets us explore her experience in more depth and the amazing understandings that are there through her books. And, you know, divine order does its thing. And this Tuesday starts our set of mini classes, and Garrett there has a class on near-death experiences that was planned out a long time ago, and we didn't know it was to correspond with this. So thank you, Spirit, and thank you, Garrett, and other wonderful classes that are starting then. But I would just ask you from this, make that commitment this week to look at what Patricia has been saying, love in the present time. Just in your experience, just stop for a moment. Just be aware of the love that is present in you, in life, in that moment. You go along and then suddenly just stop. Be aware. Love in the present time. Just the love that is there in you, in the life that you're experiencing. In this amazing place we are journeying in that moment. Will you do that with me? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Patricia, thank you for doing that journey for us.